Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a Monday edition of the Two Off the First podcast. I'm Ryan Balogi. Thanks for checking us out today. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Balogi, and you can find all my work at golfnewsnet.com. We've got two stories for you today to walk through, one very emotional, one kind of whiny in one sense. And I'm trying to record this before I go to my son's school's charity golf tournament today. It's at the country club, like the rival country club in our town, our little part of our town. And we get to go play there once a year only because of this tournament. It is a William Flynn design, so he's the gentleman who did Shinnecock Hills, among other wonderful places. But he's a great, was a great, incredible architect, and it is kind of a treat to be able to go play this place, but it is also so much more snobby and uppity than where I play Argyle Country Club, which is right behind me. And so it's going to be a different experience today. So I'm kind of conflicted about all that, but that's coming up in about 90 minutes time. So I need to be able to get this going and up to you. So hopefully we have a good time here in the 25 minutes or so. We'll talk about a few things. The thing I want to start with today is Cameron Champ winning the Safeway Open. Probably one of the most emotional stories in golf this year, if not the most emotional story in golf this year. Maybe in sports. I'm not sure. But Cameron Champ came into this week. He had just finished his first ever title defense on the PGA Tour. It was respectable, finished in the top 30 at the Sanderson Farms, which was a full field, non-opposite field event for the first time this year. Last year, it was an opposite field event, I believe, against the HSBC champions, but don't hold me to that. And Champ had, he had been tied for the lead with nine to play and then just kind of rallied and won the tournament playing his style of golf, banging it huge off the tee. He putted really well, and that's really the key for him in winning is when he doesn't play poorly around the greens and he putts well, he's got a good chance. I mean, he smacks it 350 off the tee. It's kind of hard to stop him if he hits it straight and he puts it on the green. It's going to be hard to do. And he came into this week after that title defense, coming on the heels of a really terrible calendar 2019, played 20 times, missed half the cuts. He withdrew from another tournament. He didn't have a single top 25 finish except in the Northern Trust. He finished the season at the BMW Championship, tied for 65th in a tournament with 70 players. It wasn't going well. And part of that was sky-high expectations. I'm sure part of that was adjustment to the life of playing professional golf as the grind that it is, as a 24-year-old kid with sky-high expectations. And he came into this week facing some really devastating news. His father, Jeff, who played in the Baltimore Orioles Major League Baseball organization system for a couple of years as a professional athlete, told his son that his grandfather, the Cameron's grandfather, Mac, who taught him the game when he was two, was a Vietnam veteran, was in the Air Force, that he was in hospice care in Sacramento near their where Cameron Champ grew up, or at their house where he grew up, and that unfortunately Mr. Mac Champ was going to pass away relatively soon. I mean, he's 78 years old. He's battling terminal stage 4 stomach cancer. They're trying to manage his pain. Cameron Champ said, I believe on Friday, that Mac has refused to eat for 2 to 3 weeks. That is unfortunately very common with people battling the end stages of cancer. They kind of lose their appetite and almost don't feel like eating, almost as a way of trying to maybe advertently or inadvertently speed up the process of dying. And he had to deal with all that as he goes to Napa to play in this tournament. And that's an hour drive, you know, from Sacramento in Northern California. And he had to deal with the emotion all week of that, and he got himself into position after 54 holes to have a 3-shot lead, which is incredible enough, I think. And he talked about nearly breaking down on the first tee on Saturday, thinking about what his grandfather had to be going through, their special relationship. I mean, not only did Mac Champ teach Cameron how to play golf, but traveled with him to many tournaments, caddied for him. I believe it was 8 years ago. He played in the First Tee Open, which is now the Pure Insurance Championship. It's the Champions Tour Pro-Am with First Tee players at Pebble Beach. It's a beautiful tournament. It was actually this weekend too, which is kind of interesting. And Mac Champ caddied for his grandson. And when Mac learned to play the game in the 40s and 50s, discrimination was so baked into the sport, it was almost impossible to imagine Mac Champ being able to play a place like Pebble Beach or so many of the places that Cameron Champ probably well has access to now because of his PGA Tour status and being a guy that's a winner and a recognized athlete. And on Sunday, Champ entered with a 3-shot lead, got it to a 5-shot lead, and then it kind of started to slip away from him a little bit. He was just kind of holding serve for a while until Adam Hadwin birdied the final three holes, posted 16 under, and Champ slipped up on 17. So he arrives to the 18th tee at Silverado Resort. Their North Course is what hosts the event. It's a par 5. He's got to birdie the hole to win or you know, do something better than par to avoid a playoff. And Champ busts one 369 down the middle with his last tee shot of the tournament. That's crazy. I mean, I know what he's capable of, and I'm sure you've seen him play. You know how hard he hits the ball. But 369 down the middle with it all on the line is pretty crazy good. And hits the green with an 8-iron to a par 5, which is just astounding at that level. And he two-putts for the win. He's got a 3-foot, 8-inch putt, I believe it was, to win the tournament. And you could tell he was already getting teary-eyed. I mean, he probably knew he had it. It wasn't a difficult putt. All he had to do was just put it in there. And he's battling tears, and he makes the putt. Raises his arms up into the air. Because you're celebrating a win, but at the same time, it seemed like it all hit him then that what he was winning for, who he was winning for, would be such a sad and profoundly difficult moment for him. So he hugged his caddy and kind of cried into his shoulders a little bit. And fortunately, in that moment, because you know the Champs kind of traveled as a family this week. Jeff Champ was there on the 18th green. He had already called his father got him on the phone, was talking to him, and brought the phone out as he hugged his son. And that's a hard moment to watch. I mean, it's in one sense, it's incredible because of what Cameron Champ did for his grandfather, the guy who taught him the game and infected him with the golf bug that brought him to this point. But to know that whenever that moment comes, whenever the nadir comes that Mr. Champ passes away, what Cameron Champ described to Golf Channel as his greatest, the greatest golfing moment of his career, the greatest moment of his golfing career. And he said that unequivocally, whatever he does from here, this will be it. And I can't doubt that. That what'll be his greatest moment may also be his most heartbreaking. And the most amazing thing to me about the whole thing, not only that Champ did all of this, I mean, that in itself is incredible, but as Jeff Champ and Cameron Champ are hugging and Mr. Champ is on the phone and he was watching this in Sacramento, he's able to do that. Jeff Champ is saying, "Are you kidding me, Dad? Are you kidding me, Dad?" And he's telling his son, "God is good." And I don't know if you're a religious person, and I sort of am, sort of not. But in that moment, knowing that one of the worst possible things that can happen in your life, your father passing away, your grandfather passing away, if you're really close to him, mother passing away, you know, like a parent or a grandparent really close to you passing away, that he was proclaiming how good God is, that's remarkable to me. I don't know if most people think about the inevitable most sorrowful moments of their life and still have that kind of faith. And maybe all of this was for Jeff Champ, maybe Cameron Champ, I don't know, a confirmation of that faith. The older I get, the more I think about signs, some kind of confirmation of the stuff I don't know being real. I try to be a very fact-based person. I am incredibly skeptical, often cynical of motive. And sometimes there are moments, and I feel like I see more of them every now and then, that confirm there's something bigger. And I don't know what that is. I'm Catholic for what it's worth, so that I've labeled that God. But there's something there that I can't explain. And maybe it's all concocted in my head. Maybe it's all just incredible coincidence. But it feels like at times like this, and there are others like we talked about, they're non-golf related. I feel like, all right, maybe you don't need to be skeptical about this one. Maybe this one's the one you should believe in. And for the Champs to have that kind of affirmation, that difficult of a moment, that's, if it doesn't move you, even if you're agnostic, even if you're of another faith, even if you're an atheist, or whatever, if it doesn't move you in some fashion, I don't know what will. And I struggle with all of the response to what, you know, to Champ's winning. I mean, it's an incredible moment. It's a great achievement. He won for a second time, basically in a year span on the PGA Tour. There aren't that many players under 25 who have won twice in PGA Tour history, and there's certainly, even with the run of great players in recent years, there haven't been that many. But the reaction was, this is such a great moment. It's so wonderful. And yes, it is. I mean, in one sense, it is a great moment because of what Cameron was able to do as a tribute to his pops. But at the same time, it's also incredibly difficult. I mean, we have to recognize that, and I feel like we avoid this a lot in life. And I feel like it was a void. I was watching some Golf Channel this morning before I took my kids to school. And they were talking about Morning Drive, about the story of Mac Champ and what he had done. And they ran a story from Steve Burkowski. And Damon Hack, who's as cordial of a guy as there is, and he tries to be very positive. So we wish Mr. Mac the best in his battle against cancer. It's terminal. I mean, everyone knows it. And all you can say is we wish you the best. I mean, you know what the end is. And I think that's what makes it all the more heartbreaking. You know what the end is. You know that this moment, this trophy, it'll be an indelible memory for Cameron Champ and his father. And I'm sure it'll give something special for Mac Champ as he prepares to pass away. But it's hard for me to label it a great moment because you know what, you know this is temporal, you know this is passing. And maybe this is too meta, but maybe that's something for this moment. That maybe that's what that means, that this is a temporal moment. Victory is temporal, and so is death. And you choose how to remember it, I suppose. I don't know. But nonetheless, however you come at this story, and even if you don't come at it from that kind of a level, it was really incredible to watch. It was captivating to watch for that reason. And the fall produced another interesting story. I mean, we've had three pretty cool stories so far. Obviously, this is on a different level than Joaquin Niemann breaking through and winning on the PGA Tour for the first time, becoming the youngest international winner other than Seve in, 100 years. And Sebastian Munoz winning because he was inspired in part by Joaquin Niemann. That was cool and compelling to watch. But this was a really good event. And this week we've got the Safeway, or we've got the Shriners Open in Vegas. I'm looking forward to it because it's their best field ever. Got a lot of good players in the field. I think it's about half the top, I'll say 20 of the world top 50, which for this tournament, which has always kind of been in this no-go spot in the fall, that's great. I think that's great news for this tournament. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it by a few days. I'm going to Austin on Sunday for a media trip to Horseshoe Bay Resort, which I've heard is really fun out in the hills outside of Austin. And then I'll be going to Vegas on Thursday, October 10th. So basically a week after the tournament starts. And I'm going to go play the Wynn Golf Club, which is reopening on the Strip. That should be an interesting experience. It's a golf course I've always wanted to play because I'm a big Vegas fan. I love Vegas a lot. And to be able to get to see that golf course for the first time is... I rerouted my trip because of that. That's how much I thought of that. So looking forward to doing that. But unfortunately, I missed the actual golf tournament. I don't really have anything to add other than what Champ did. I felt like I had to go there, and hopefully that wasn't too deep, too sorrowful, too much on a Monday morning. But sometimes you got to think about that stuff, I think, and if a moment like this doesn't compel a little bit of moment of reflection and maybe gratefulness, I don't know. But if it doesn't make you think about yourself and our place in the world a little bit, then I don't know. I can't help you. We're not going to do a commercial read today, obviously. You know, I don't like going from a sad topic to, hey, let me tell you about a product I love. So let's just skip over all of that and get into the kind of whiny subject, so to speak, of the weekend. And that is Rory McIlroy. So McIlroy has been playing on the European Tour in the last couple of weeks since winning the FedEx Cup. He came the week after winning the Tour Championship to play in Switzerland in the Omega European Masters. He finished tied for second. He then waited a couple weeks and then played the BMW PGA Championship and did pretty well there. He finished top 10, I think it was T10 or T9 in the end, but had a nice weekend to bounce back from a horrible first round. I think it was 76 to open. Without the 76, he's kind of in the tournament maybe if he shoots a 67, but I realize that's a big what if. Although he went out in 34 the first nine holes of the tournament. And McIlroy then played this past weekend at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, which is the European Tour equivalent of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And the three courses they play on are Kings Barnes and Carnoustie and the Old Course. And they play the Old Course as the host course. So they play that on Sunday after the cut is made. There are 168 Pro-Am teams, and one of the Pro-Am teams in recent years has been Rory McIlroy and his father, Jerry. Jerry's not a bad golfer in his own right. I believe he's like a 10 or 12 handicap these days. He spends a lot of time in the United States. He is now a member of Seminole Golf Club. It pays to be Rory McIlroy's father. And he's gotten better, apparently. But this year, this was the first year they really had a chance to win the Pro-Am competition, and they tied for first place in the end, minus 39, just crazy. And they tied with Tommy Fleetwood and Ogden Phipps, who is Fleetwood's partner. I don't know who that guy is. But Fleetwood and Phipps won the tournament on what amounts to a scorecard playoff, because the tiebreaker isn't the lowest score between the teams in the final day, the McIlroys would have won. It instead, tiebreaker is the low score by the professional in the final round, and Fleetwood shot 64, McIlroy shot 67. So the Fleetwood-Phipps pairing won the tournament. And I'm sure that didn't help things a little bit, but McIlroy after the round was unhappy. And after about five or six questions from the media about the experience of playing with his father and the enjoyment that they had contending all weekend and all that stuff, McIlroy spoke about, I believe this is probably John Huggin who asked him, since he wrote the story immediately after, asked him about the experience of playing on the European Tour, and McIlroy kind of laid into the tour setup. He said they're too easy. He said he's tired of coming to the PGA, or from the PGA Tour to the European Tour, shooting 15 under and finishing in 30th place, which he finished kind of around 30th place this weekend. And he shot, 15 under par. but he also played in a pro-am event on three links courses where no wind was to be had basically all weekend, and the winning score was minus 22. You can't really defend links golf courses without wind. They're just not built to do that. And he was upset about that. He was upset about when he played the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club, also in obviously Scotland, in July. He finished T34, I believe, shot 13 under par. But that golf course also was soft. It was first year hosting. It was a pretty easy setup, and there was no wind. So there's all those things combined, you know, that's going to happen. But in the other events, he played in the European Masters, got into a playoff on 14 under, lost the playoff, but got into the playoff on 14 under. And then at the BMW PGA, yeah, he finished top 10. I think he shot minus 13 or something, minus 11, something like that. And minus 21 because Danny Willett was brilliant. However, I do find it awkward that McIlroy just kind of seemed to be whining. That's really all he was doing, was just whining about the realities of playing competitive golf. That right now there really isn't a whole lot the European Tour, or frankly the PGA Tour, can do to stop players from scoring. They can make it harder. They can do what they did at the BMW Championship, the second playoff event. But Justin Thomas won on 22 under par, and they tried to make the rough deep and make Medina, which is supposed to be a long and difficult slog, somewhat difficult. It was super easy for these guys. And if you look at the winning scores between the PGA Tour and the European Tour, the PGA Tour's winning scores are often lower than the European Tour, because the European Tour has probably five or six events a year where the winning score is like minus seven. And you get like Valderrama, the Spanish Open usually is kind of a tricky one. You get maybe a Lynx event in there that's kind of strange. And, you know, that kind of brings the average down a little bit. But right now, the expectation is the winning score on any of the events on the two biggest tours in the world is about minus 16 between the two. There's no real difference. And so for McIlroy to come out and bitch and moan about the winning score on the European Tour and it being too easy and the setup's not difficult enough, and then laud the PGA Tour setups because he thinks the courses are more difficult and he did better in more challenging setups, and that set up his incredible year, which, by the way, has been incredible. I just can't buy that argument. I think he was looking for a thing to complain about because he didn't do well on the leaderboard but did well playing golf, and so he wanted to have an excuse. And every once in a while, Rory does this. He's really he's an interesting character in so many ways, and he is so forthcoming, and you don't want to crucify the guy for being honest and saying what they feel, but I don't think he has a legitimate gripe here. So I'm not trying to criticize him for being honest. I'm trying to criticize his mentality. Because if you're going to come out and say that you don't think minus 15, you should be T34 or whatever it is, or T28 or whatever it is in a tournament, then don't play tournaments where that also happens in the PGA Tour. But again, and McIlroy's kind of talked about this also in the past, there's really nothing that the authorities in golf can do other than rolling back equipment to put these guys in a really awkward, difficult position. That's just how it is. These guys are better athletes. The equipment is too good. There's just no stopping them if you're a long-hitting guy. I mean, Cameron Champ's great case. All the top players in the world, there's more of a correlation now than ever between driving distance and being a top 10 money earner in the world. It is very clear. It's just all it is. It comes down to power. It sets you up for everything else. So I think that means something. And for McIlroy to come and say, the European Tour setups are weak, so I'm not going to play as many European Tour events again next year. I'm just going to keep my status so I can be on the Ryder Cup team and then be a captain in the future. I just think that's an unnecessary and, frankly, a shot that's unsupported by the facts. And maybe you're just looking for a fact to kind of dig a little bit. I don't know if you're McIlroy, but I don't think that makes him come across very good. I think it makes him come across as a whiny guy. Look, if the winning score is minus 20, then you got to shoot minus 20 to win. if the winning score is minus 8, you could still shoot minus 20 and win. It's up to you. It's up to the setup to some extent. But again, as pretty much every top player has acknowledged, there isn't a whole lot that anybody can do setup-wise to stop them now. They're too strong. The equipment's too good. You're just not going to do that. And if that's the reality moving forward, then you have to embrace that as a professional golfer and recognize the game has changed. Tiger has realized that. And I don't know if he's thrilled about it, but he knows it. And he knows how he has to play. He can't play his play middle of the green and get 20 birdie chances, you know, get 16 birdie chances around, hope 5 go in. You got to fire at some pins, man. Otherwise, you can't win tournaments. That's changed how he plays a little bit. And if you look at McIlroy's record in the major championships, look at the four majors he won. He destroyed all of those tournament fields. He destroyed those golf courses. He beat a defenseless congressional to win the U.S. Open. He clobbered Kiawah Island in difficult conditions, by the way. That was very important to note. But he clobbered a field at Kiawah. And then you look at the two majors he won in 2014 back-to-back. When he won the British Open, which I don't think anyone was expecting him to do, he won in a week where there was no wind and they could destroy Royal Liverpool. Then, a few weeks later, they played Valhalla, which is by no means a difficult golf course for the top players in the world. So he won all four of his major championships to date on easy setups or easy conditions. I just can't support when you're sitting there saying, you're doing this and then this is wrong, but they're one and the same and then one has helped you. I can't get that. And I don't understand how he figures out in his head that it's fine to say that. And maybe he'll look back on it and say, you know what, maybe that wasn't the right thing to say. Maybe in that moment I was a little too heated, whatever. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he is a thoughtful guy who tries to work through a lot of stuff and process that for people publicly. But it did not come across very well. And hopefully he'll figure that out in the coming days. That's going to do it for us today on 2 at the First. I am going to be heading over to the golf course here in a few minutes. Get ready to go play in this outing. Should be a good time. Hopefully we win a scramble, even though that basically just means we have to lie. And we're not going to lie. But if we win, we'll let you know tomorrow. We've got a couple good tournaments this week. We did talk about the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open. We have the beginning of the fall run through Asia for the LPGA. We're getting close to the end of the season on the PGA Tour Champions. And, of course, the European Tour rolls on into its biggest weeks of the season as we're starting at the BMW PGA Championship all the way through to the World Tour Championship in Dubai at the midpoint, I believe, of November. Give us a 5-star review if you listen to us through iTunes. Helps us reach more people. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Start managing your data, not your infrastructure. Unified, simple, secure. Welcome to Data Done Right. Only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.